Good evening, church. Right. I mean, I've been speaking here for a few occasions, and just for the record, or some of you who do not know me, yeah, I'm from Grace Assembly. I have a full-time job at medical technologies, but evangelism is really on my heart. Next. Yeah, so the type of ministries that I do, we go to the streets, we hit people with the gospel. Me and my wife, we played at Bishan Park. But now she's expecting for close to 5 months, so we kind of switch tactics and we do door to door, and I would jog and she would stroll, and then later we'll start to reach out to the people around. Next. Okay, so this whole series is what I've updated from the latest fourth edition. So my book is available outside, I think somewhere on the left hand side, $10 per copy. Next one, there's an application worksheets available. You can get a copy if you have not got the latest one, the fourth edition, and $10 per copy. Next slide. Yeah, it's just all out in the corner left-hand side. My wife will be mending the book sales later. And so today, I'm going to be talking about a very exciting topic, right? I'm given this topic on relationships. And me and my wife, we have a huge burden for youths, young adults. And this is really fresh, you know, fresh from what we have experienced. And I'm going to just take time. It's going to be a really lengthy, and it's going to be a lot of stuff that I'm going to talk about, really important stuff, and I'm not going to rush through it. And so one section, we're going to talk about the three M's. It's about our personal journey into marriage and how God brought us together. And then the next one is the important part. What does the Word of God say? You know, what does the Bible talks about being a believer in a relationship? Wow, so that's like huge, you know. And we go outreaches, we talk to single ladies, single guys, and then we struggle about relationships, and then we share about the three M's. And if there is time, okay, I'm going to talk about testimony about our most recent outreach to this guy who is having struggles in his marriage, and then how we ministered to him, and so on and so forth. Okay, so let's pray first, okay? Let's pray. This is a very important topic. Young adults, youth, you know, this is something that you're going to encounter in one season or another. And those who are especially in, tertiary, or, you know, looking to get married in some years, or in a relationship, or you're single and you are, you know, looking for a partner, this topic is really important to you. So let's pray, okay? Lord, we see this whole issue of relationship under your biblical lens, under your eyes. And I pray that whatever that's being preached upon this pulpit, it's from the Bible, it's biblical, and it will hit the heart of youths. I ask tonight, this moment, open their hearts to receive what the Word of God says to them. And I pray, oh God, you know, guard my heart, guard my lips. Anoint me, Holy Spirit, to preach forth the message that will change this generation to be someone that's after your heart, to be someone that puts Jesus first in everything, especially relationships. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's go quickly on the three M's. So first one, knowing your maker. Right, next, knowing your maker. So the next slide. So this is very important. Very, very important. Okay, next slide. Okay, so I have these questions on the screen, right? Do you really know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? That's the most important decision in your life. Whether you really come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, are you having a vibrant, living relationship with Him? Do you desire an intimate relationship with Him? Do you have a history with God? That means your testimonies. Are you walking with Him, journeying with Him? Do you have moments of encounter, moments where He has helped you, moments where He has guided you, disciplined you, rebuked you, loved you, led you tenderly into a certain path? All these things. As a young adult, as a youth, you must start to develop a history with God. Are you seeking after Him? Wow, see, that's huge questions, you know, but it's very important right at the start. Next slide. So you see over on the picture here for me and my wife, when we bought a place in Armacure, we decorated, we renovated the whole house. So we have all these pictures from the start of how we met, and then from there it progresses on, you know, the journey of how. Each picture has its own story of how the Lord was with us, how we journey with Jesus, you know, one step at a time. So as time goes by, you know, the pictures are going to change. So that's how we remember our walk with the Lord. The question is He the Lord of your life? Is He really the Lord of your life? You see, so the whole idea of knowing Him, that's what Pastor Titus has preached about, you know, to know Him, and then you make Him known. So that's the mission, okay? You first got to know Jesus, and then you can go forth and preach the gospel and make Jesus known. Correct? So that's where the next M comes in. Next slide, okay? So the second M is discovering your mission. Discovering your mission. So we see in Ephesians 2, you know, verse 8 to 10, in the next slide. Okay, so this is something that I always talk about in my equipping workshop, you know, especially in the area of evangelism. I always preach on this topic, Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. You know, so we are God's workmanship, handiwork, you know, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Every single one of you here has a purpose, has a mission that God has placed in your heart. You take a phone, the phone is not meant to sweep the floor, it's not meant to hammer nails, it's meant to be making a call. Okay, so it has a bunch of noodles in front of you. I, a man, see a need. Correct? I, a man, created the chopstick or fork, you know, for the purpose of eating the noodles. Right? The chopstick is not meant to poke your eye, scratch your back. It's for the purpose of eating the noodles. And the same thing, God in His sovereignty. Right? Just now we sang about the song, right? In sovereignty, right? He saw there was a need here on earth, right here in Singapore, and He created Titus for this. He created Samuel for it. You see, He created every one of you for mission and purpose. So are you seeking to discover your mission? Wow. Next one. So over here, I'm not going to go through the whole list, but the point I'm trying to say is that how I started off is when God spoke to my heart in that single radical obedience to just be out there blading, and how this lady jogger got to know Christ. And then from then on, I was telling God, oh my God, I reach out one time, like that also can. So from then on, every moment I was out there reaching out, I was blading, testimonies out there. My street evangelism team was just born. And then the whole series goes on, you know, how God brought me to Tong Ling Bible School, and then my book was published, and then how He just flew open the doors, you know, of being a practitioner and a teacher in the area of evangelism. But the point I'm trying to say is that I was so focused on my mission. You see, I was like just straight on, you know, like then people are telling me, oh Wallace, you know, at this age, you know, are you looking for someone now? I said, no, you know, I'm just going to go forth and serve the Lord. And then you hear people beside me, left, right, center, oh, well, hey, this guy's getting married. I said, okay, congrats, you know, I'm serving the Lord. I'm playing at Bishan Park, right? Then someone says, oh, there's a baby shower, like example, you know, Pastor Sam, you know, and give birth to a baby, you know, they say, okay, congratulations, I'm playing at Bishan Park. You see, I wasn't bothered, you see, because I knew God would provide for me at His right time. And I patiently waited. And for the record, I was at the age of 37 when I got married. 37, okay? How long did I wait? 7 years. 7 years. Is it worth it? Yes, extremely. Because I made mission the priority in my life, right? Discovering your mission. Next slide. So that's like the mission. That's like Ang Mo Kio. That's like Bishan Park, Orchard. That's, you know, those areas are like the place where it's mine, you know. Next one. The rest of it is yours, right? Everywhere. Churches uniting to reach out for Christ, right? Virus, no virus. People still go to hell without Jesus. So why not? Okay, of course, there's certain precautions to take. But that's the vision that God has given me, right? And I give my life, and I go forth to be full on in my mission. Next one. So these are the questions that I will ask you. You know, are you seeking God's purpose for your life? Are you willing to be fully obedient to it? You know, are you ready to stand before Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, you know, to account for the mission He has given you? So why am I saying all this, you see? Because so many people, you know, at this age, you know, they're just drifted away, and they were like, oh no, I'm start looking for someone. But what about the mission that God has placed in your life? Because at the end of your life, you have to account to Him what He has called you to do. So if God has told you to paint the right side of the wall black, don't paint the left side with all kinds of colorful rainbows and spectacular pattern. It's not going to work. If God has called you for somewhere, be faithful and be obedient to it. And that's the second M, right? Discovering your mission. And then the third M. This is where I think most of you are keen to find out. Next slide. Next slide, partnering with your mate. Okay, so I'm going to share with you how God has led me to meet my wife. This story is not a doctrine, okay? It's not a doctrine. I'm not saying this is going to happen to all of you, but I'm going to give you the biblical stand, okay, of how this thing was arranged by God. So, next slide. So, it all started. See, I was so focused on my mission, you know. I was just going on churches. I came to Coos before, I think a few times, to preach about evangelism, to raise up the youths. And then one of my church pastors called me to do an equipping, right, in Grace Assembly. And if you see over there, right, when I did the equipping, you see the red color arrow over there, right? That's her. That's my wife. That's where she attended the course, okay? And I have no idea she existed, right? I just started a group at Jurong, which is in my own church. So I started a group. I pioneered this whole thing. I did the whole admin thing. I was like, okay, super random. It's like, okay, you got a partner. Then I pointed to her, right? Sister, you got a partner? What's your name? Joanna. Oh, okay, can I partner with you? Okay, you. And then it's just super random, all right? And then that's how we started. We reached out and we were following up on this contact over here. And because we do follow-ups, you know, first time we meet, we talk to him, you know, and the second time we like brought Bibles, and third time we brought pillows, and in the process of following up, you see, that's how I got to know her, right? And then there was one time where I follow up, and then we realized that he wasn't in the restaurant, he was a waiter, you know? He wasn't in the restaurant, so we just had dinner, and then we fellowship with the Lord. And then next slide, in the church camp in 2017, June, this is quite funny, all right? It was a gym, right? It's like, you know gym, there's like five, treadmill, right? Treadmill, okay. There are five treadmill, okay? The center treadmill was not working. There's this sign, right? So I was at the extreme right. Extreme right. I think I was somewhere in the I skipped an afternoon seminar. I just went running and stuff like that. Then suddenly I realized, she appeared on my extreme left travelator, you know? And then as I was running, she started to come closer to the next one. Then suddenly she started beside me. I was like, what's going on, you know? Why is she running beside me, you know? Right? And then she told me that the first and second travelator, treadmill was not working, not travelator, treadmill. First two was not working. I said, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then she was just running beside me. It's a bit awkward, you know? And then afterwards, when we finished, I walked past, right? The guy came in and then it was okay, you know? He was like, huh? What's going on, you know? So that's a bit, it's really strange, you know? But the thing is that what really got my attention, okay, was two things, right? So when I needed a follow-up contact for a Filipino lady, right, she was willing to come all the way from Jurong. Because you meet up with a sister, you meet up with a lady, you meet with a sister, right? Just so that there's a one-to-one, follow-up, and the lady will talk to the lady and stuff like that. And then the second thing was the prayer meeting, right? Once a month, I would gather people to just come and spend time to seek the Lord. You know? So before we got married, you know, it's so hard to find a venue, to find some place. I got to beg people, is your place available, etc. It's so difficult. And so I asked her, you know, do you happen to know a place? And then somehow she told me, yeah, I got a place in Holland V. I said, wow, really? Holland V? Yeah. Oh, okay. And then at the whole, so over there was a prayer meeting, right? So we just prayed. It was an amazing prayer meeting. But at the end of it, I began to realize that, she actually spent quite a bit of money, you know, just to secure a place. It's not like a two-digit, like, you know, it's a three-digit kind of money. I was like, wow, who is this lady that is willing to spend money on prayer? Wow, that has totally got my attention. And then from then on, I decided to check her out, okay? Okay, I mean, not say, you know, that's like, okay, this is, because that's, prayer is definitely high on my, very high on my quality. It's like, this lady has to be a prayerful lady. So, I mean, I was like, you know, just leaving it to, you know, normal, and then I prayed to God, you know. So God, you know, I asked God, you know, God, is, could she possibly be the one? Okay, so God just, you know, didn't answer me, right? And so I was led to read the book of Amos, you know. So I spend my quiet time every day in the morning. In my quiet time, I do retreats, you know, at Marriage Reservoir. I just spend time retreats, and then he led me on this book Amos, you know, book of Amos. If you read book of Amos, like judgment on Israel, you know, all this stuff, I was like, what's going on, you know? And then finally I came to this verse, Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they have agreed upon? Wow, Amos 3:3. And that verse was like stuck in my heart for at least 2-3 weeks, you know, when I was thinking about, you know, whether Joanna was possibly the one. So I prayed to God for at least 2-3 weeks, you know, and then I was having my usual retreat in Marichi. I'll just go evening, I'll run in Marichi. And after running, you know, that's where I spend time with the Lord. Then I'll see people that nearby, oh, okay, not bad. This person that's like sitting down, oh, let's go reach out to this person, you know. So I was reaching out, trying to prepare my track, and it's her, you know. Wow, what's she doing in MacRitchie, you know? Wow, it's like, wow, it's her, you know. Just like, wow. And then we just fellowship in the Lord. We just fellowship and we just prayed about things of God. It's amazing, you know. And then it's like, wow, you know. So I was just, you know, God was telling me, you know, it's like leading her to me. And so the key point, right, was one time when I was at the MacRitchie Reservoir, I was just really seeking the Lord. And I knew it was her, right? And I was just having this moment with God. And it's just such an amazing encounter. God spoke to me, John 21, you know. When Jesus spoke to Peter, right? So God spoke to me. He said, Wallace, you know, do you love me above all this? Right? Three times, you know. He told me three times, Wallace, do you love me? And, you know, with tears in my eyes, I said, yes, Lord, you know. So it's like, yes, I love you above all things. So whether, you know, she's like going to be my mate or, you know, it's the secondary, but, you know, it's like, yes, Lord, I will love you with all my heart, you know. Three times I answered, yes, Lord, and it's such an amazing encounter. And then when I turned his side, she was there at the other side. Oh, and so I went, and then I just asked the question, you know. Because I knew it was her, and I just asked the question, you know. It's like, do you want to partner with me? Something along that line, you know. Do you want to like, partner with me? And like, you know, this the vision and stuff like that. I was asking what kind of qualities you look for, and then I just began to ask her the question, and she said yes instantly. You know, it's quite amazing. So I'm going to just call my wife to just come up and let her share her view, right? Yeah.
Okay, hi everyone. Okay, I'll jump straight into the area of relationships because I guess that's the topic for today. So when I truly knew the Lord, after some time, I started to pray about, you know, a mate. But there were many instances where God was very silent about it. And somehow, I think the Holy Spirit prompted in my heart that says, hey, your prayer seems to be very focused on this request. You know, I think it's consuming your mind and it's not healthy, it's not good, it's not biblical. So I parked it. Because I knew that the Lord has already told me many things that I'm supposed to do. How do I reach out to the people at the workplace? How do I serve in church? And how do I grow, you know, in the knowledge of the Lord? So I have more than enough things which I really need to work on. So I continued in focusing on the Lord, and the Lord has brought me to many ministries that I was part with, and I grew in the knowledge of the Lord, which I'm very thankful for. So the first two M's that Wallace has shared is really critical, is really essential, because if I hadn't known that Jesus is the greatest joy, the greatest love, there is no way I will be able to love Wallace. No, there's no way I'm able to truly love the people that God has placed in my life, because I will be sucking every life out of him, and that would not be biblical. So I remember there was one night, as I prayed, you know, as usual, God told me, there is someone for you. I said, oh, okay. And then that's how my prayer pointers for my mate changed. So I prayed for protection, I prayed that God would be at the center of his life, all of that. And I told the Lord that I will not put myself out there, you know, to be seen or to know like who is this person that you have for me. So I went to the extreme to say that I don't even have coffees with guys one on one. I don't. Okay, I just don't do that. In the ministries that I was involved in, I had the privilege to minister to a lot of people. And whenever there a guy would message me or would call me for a certain request, I would always direct them to my male leaders, always, without a second of a doubt. And every time when they have an hesitation of doing that, it is an alarm bell for me, because then it tells me the intention of meeting with me is not pure in the sense that you may want to check me out, which I didn't want that at all. So that went on for a certain period of time, and when I knew him, okay, just to clarify, the prayer meeting That was when I migrated to Australia for a number of years. I came back to Singapore and I found that I didn't have a community of prayer. So I was very hungry. I needed that time with the Lord as a corporate body to pray. So when Wallace approached me on that, I couldn't find a place. I prayed to the Lord. I said, God, you know, Singapore, every hectare of this country belongs to you. How can it be I cannot find a place when your children wants to pray to you? So the Lord said, go check out Airbnb. So at that point in time, Airbnb, it was still legal to rent places, and I got to know of a person who was willing to open the place for fellowship, for church fellowship. Hey, I think it's spot on. So I had a budget in mind, and I gave her that amount, and I told the Lord, you know, if she's open to it without negotiation, is an open door from you, and she did. She accepted it. So that's how we went along with the prayer meeting. So I remember the very first time when I had dinner with him because we wanted to reach out to the contact. Remember that one? I specifically told him, even before we started chatting, Wallace, I may appear like very attentive to what you say, you know, I'm very warm, I'm very friendly. That's just me. Okay, we're here on a mission. We are here to reach out, you know, and let's just focus on that. Yeah. So I remember his reaction is like, okay. So as weeks goes by, the Lord has been giving us many divine appointments, many confirmation, which unfortunately I don't have time to go into the details. But I remember that night when he actually asked me to partner with him. When the Lord has was speaking to him about John 21, that was the exact same moment that I prayed to the Lord. I mean, I knew he was at the other corner. I'm like, okay, I pretend not to see her. Okay, it's okay. You know, but I was praying to the Lord and said, I pray that God would be at the center of his life and he would, you know, that God, that you are his only pillar, you know. And when he shared with me about what God has spoke to him on John 21, that was a confirmation for me. For me. And I remembered a day later when I started, when I said yes, okay, I confess, I kind of doubted. I'm like, oh, what have I gone into? Because I knew that I knew that this relationship is going to marriage. There's no tests, you know, there's no play, there's no let's try it out for a certain period, let's check one another out. So I prayed, and I remembered I prayed at my parents' place, that was where I was living, and God spoke. So God very rarely speaks audibly to me, and he only spoke four words. Yeah. Have I not provided? So when he said that, it wasn't a comforting voice, it wasn't a gentle tone, it was a thunderous one. The sort that stops everything else in you, and all that you can say is you tremble in his presence, and you say, yes, Lord, I hear, yes. And ever since then, yeah, it was just no turning back. So, I just want to share a little bit about what are the characteristics of a godly man or husband if you are ready to look for one. That guy must truly know the Lord. So I'm speaking to the girls, the young ladies in this hall. So the God must truly, he must truly know the Lord. You know, truly, truly know. He must be able to be one that leads you spiritually, financially, and emotionally. Does he care for the poor? Does he look out for the weak? Right? And how does he carry himself on stage and off stage? It doesn't mean one that is actively involved in ministry is one that's close with Lord. Ministry can be a career as well, so that is a danger. And does he honor his parents? How does he dress? How does he spend his money? Is he a good steward of the things that God has placed in his life? And does he submit to authority? So it sounds like a very long list, doesn't it? But it's very important, because at the end of the day, as a wife, you will be submitting to him. Submitting to him, and that is what God has expected from a godly wife. So I want to talk a little bit about the characteristics of a godly woman and wife. If we can turn to 1 Peter 3, verse 3 to 5. So it says to the wives or to ladies, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Yeah. So I don't think this verse actually says you can't braid your hair. I think you can. But I think what this verse is trying to say is if your outward appearance is just so over the top that what people see in you is just really what you wear and how you dress up, then it's not biblical, godly, one that pursues holiness and nobility. So it's really about having that gentle and quiet spirit. So what does gentle and quiet spirit really means? It means that one that pursues godliness, one that pursues virtues, one that pursues gentleness. How do you carry yourself in difficult situations? How do you carry yourself when people accuse you of things? How do you love your enemies? Do you have a quiet confidence in the Lord within you that no matter what is before you, you are able to trust the Lord? So when one says that you have faith in the Lord, does your actions line up to what you actually say that you have? And then the second scripture that I would like to share is Proverbs 31, and that is my favorite scripture. And my desire really is to be a wife of noble character. So it's from verse 10 all the way through to verse 31. I strongly encourage all young girls, ladies, to actually read this and meditate and ponder and seek the Holy Spirit for understanding and discernment. So I'm just going to focus on two verses. Verse 11, it says, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Wow, that seems clearly impossible for any human to do. But true God, you know, when God works within us, I strongly believe He has every promise that He has given us in the Bible. He will give the grace to fulfill it. So how would I do that? From biblical standpoint, fear of the Lord is so important. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So my relationship with God is utmost important. Without a rightful relationship with God, without walking in the light of who He is, it is impossible to be of any good use for my husband. So thank you. Thank you for your time and listening.
So for ladies, if you are keen to find out more, go talk to my wife after this session. She's going to just tell you more stuff, okay? So from then on, we were just partnering with each other. Right from the slide, we were just ministering together as a couple. Next one. So different churches, different speaking engagements, and there we are serving the Lord as one. Next slide. Yeah, next one as well. And then even outreaches, right, we're just partnering. Then she handles the lady contacts, I handle the guy contacts. And next one. So in our wedding, right, it was a total hijack, alright? So it's like 7th of April, you know, usually at the end of the worship, the pastor will talk about 1 Corinthians 13, and we're like, no, you know, we're going up, and we talk about the 3 M's, we share the gospel, and we make it totally evangelistic, and we gave an altar call for people to come forward, you know. So it's unheard of fun. You see the bride and the bridegroom coming down and praying for people, you know. It's just, so all my pre-believing family, they all know that I believe in Jesus and it's real, and so that was just a one-off thing. Yeah, so next slide. So that's the first part, okay? So knowing your maker, discovering your mission, and partnering with your mate. So this is the order, okay? The order. Next one, the two questions, right? Back again. Yeah, is there another next click? Okay, so anyway, two questions that I will ask you, right? So have you known your maker, right, over there? Have you known your maker, discovered your mission before praying for a mate? Very important, this order. Second question, how are you partnering with your mate to serve the Lord together? So you, if you knew someone and then you're in a relationship with someone and then that person has a calling to Cambodia and then you has a calling to India, how does it work, you know? How does it work, you see? So if you have the same mission, then you converge as one. So this order is extremely important and it's always the guidance that I give to every young adult, every youth. And remember, our testimony is our testimony. It's not a doctrine, okay? So I don't want some people to say, oh, I know. At the end of this, right, the main thing is to go to the gym and start running, and oh, okay? And then the main thing is to go marriage and so forth. No, okay? It's just our example. The biblical guidelines is this. Okay? So come and talk to us more. But I want to go to the next important section is what does the Word of God say? So 8 charges. Next slide. So 8 charges, right? So this is where the real stuff comes in. So first charge, okay? First charge, next slide. Yoke with believers. Okay, that's the scripture. Next one. Second Corinthians 6, verse 14. Okay, it says that do not yoke together with unbelievers. Very clear. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? And so on and so forth. So what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? It's like the question that will ask every young adult and youth over here, is the Word of God the authority of your life? Go back to the next one, the previous one. Right? So, is the Word of God the authority of your life? Are you in church? Right, of you gathering here, but are you really in Christ? Wow. So, this is huge, you know. And you see, if you are dating an unbeliver, and then so is the guy or girl coming to church because of you, or is it because of God? Is the Lord your first love? You know? So what do you like in someone that is not a believer? Is it your fleshly desires? Is Jesus really the Lord of your life? These are questions that I throw to you. Because if you don't follow the Word of God, there will be consequences. What makes you think that you're going to bring her to Christ, or him or her, instead the person pulls you away? Wow, so my question is it okay? No. It's strictly not okay. Very clear. The Bible says so. Next one. Charge number 2. Okay. Know your responsibilities. This is so important. What's the purpose of a relationship? What's the purpose of getting in the relationship? One reason. Preparation for marriage. That's it. You get into a relationship because you are preparing for marriage. And what is... And so I will ask the guy or girl. So you're getting into a relationship for the purpose of a marriage. And so what's the purpose of marriage? And then they're like, huh? Oh, I don't know. Leh. Oh, that's dangerous. And so I speak to you, to couples over here, as future husbands, future wives, right? The purpose of marriage is these 3 things, sacramental, sanctification, and functional. Sacramental means Christ and the church. The guy is the head of the house, and the girl is supposed to submit. Okay, sanctification is huge. This is like the key thing of marriage is... to allow you to conform to his image. Wow, you know, Romans 8:29. For God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. This is huge. This, in fact, is the huge aspect of marriage. How do you know about forgiveness? Right? If when you have to forgive her and then you realize how God forgives you in the first place, how do you know about mercy? How do you know about grace? How do you become like Christ through the marriage? Wow. Functional is the third, you know, usually the order is third. Having children, companionship, etc. You see, so the scripture, next slide. So we come to Ephesians 5, right? Couples over here, future husbands, future wives, right? Wives, future, you know, girlfriends now, you know, future wives. Wives, submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ, as Christ is the head of the church. Question, you see. If I'm a girl, right? So why should I submit to a guy? Right? Why should I submit to a guy? So imagine of this instance, okay? So you've got a guy. He just comes back home. He's tired. And then he's like, hey, wife, you know, where's my dinner? And then it's like, at the weekends, it's like, okay, hey, wife, I'm going, you know, JV fishing, you know, just handle the kids, handle the house. I'll come back at, you know, on a Sunday evening. Okay, bye. And then it goes on day in, day out. You know? So in such a case, why should a wife submit to him, to his selfish desires? Let's turn the other way around. Now, you have a husband, okay? He knows his responsibilities. He goes to work. He comes back. He's tired. He pours out his life to his kids. All right? He's tired. He continues to disciple his kids. And then when his kids go to sleep, he continues to minister to his wife. He spends time ministering to him, washing her with the word of God, loving her, caring her. And then when the wife goes to sleep, he spends time with God. And the next day, he continues on. And in the weekends, he comes to church. He does his ministry. He ministers to people. And then the day repeats itself. He comes back. He handles the family. He takes care of his wife. He loves his wife. And he labors. He's tired. But he's a man after God's heart, and he knew his ministry, he knew his purpose. You see, he knew his responsibility, and now, as a wife, you see, I look to him, I know he's godly, I know his purpose, I know he will love me, and then, I as a wife now, that says, you know what, husband, go spend time with the kids, I'll handle the chores, you know. Go take time, you know. Go spend time with discipling the kids. I'll handle the rest of the house stuff. I'll submit to you because I see your heart. I see you as a godly husband that fears the Lord, and I willingly submit to you. Do you see that? Do you see it? You see, so this is the example on the right hand side, you know, as the husband and wife goes closer towards God, you know, then that's how they become closer to each other. That's the perfect model. And you know what? If you are married or going to be in a relationship now, you know, there's an official third party. Jesus is an official third party, whether you like it or not. Jesus must be the official third party. He is the one that directs your relationship, directs your marriage. Next one. Now, boyfriends, future husbands, may you start trembling now. Because Ephesians 5, the text is three times more. Three times, and I'm only taking a portion, okay? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, present herself radiant in all these things. That is your responsibility as a husband. So the question I will pose to the boyfriends here, do you know the word of God? Do you know that you are the head of the house in the future? That's your duty. That's your responsibility. And through the relationship, is the wife becoming Christ-like, you know? Is she becoming like Jesus because of you? Or are you pushing her away from God? Wow. Do you know the direction of the family? Do you know your purpose? Are you able to lead the family? Do you provide a covering for them, you know? Do you have a job? Do you provide? Are you responsibly financially? These are the charges. To you boyfriends out there, who's going to be future husbands, know your responsibility. Next one. So you see, over here, right, at our house, we made it very clear. See, right, we renovated, right, we have this marriage resolution. We write down our roles, you know, that's like, you know, when we have an issue, we have intense fellowship, okay? And then we come to this place, and then we really read out, we weep in tears, we forgive one another, we hold hands and we say, we're going to come back, you know, Christ, you are the head of the family. Your word is the direction for our marriage. And even, you know, Amos 3:3 is our wedding verse, right? You know, at our master bedroom, right? Before we sleep, right? The verse is right at the wall there, you know? So before we got issues, right? We point, you know what? We settle, you know? So we settle our issues even before sleeping, you know? That's how we renovate our house in such a way, you know, that makes it biblical. And I mean, if you come and visit my house, you will see the whole house is meant to be evangelistic because everyone that comes in, you know, they get gospelized and stuff like that, okay? It's just a strategy, line. So our prayer room is like full of scriptures, you know. So let me not digress. Okay, let's stay on the part of relationship. Okay, next one. So third charge, live out biblical love. Third charge, live out biblical love. You see, so the question about love has been highly misunderstood. Especially what's happening in Hollywood. They make it sensual, they make it erotic. And that's hardly even biblical, you know. So what does the word of God says about love? There are many verses, but I just take one. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. One simple sentence is spent the whole 3 hours to explain the gospel. If I have 3 hours, I'll do that. Love is about looking at Jesus at the cross. Do you think Jesus felt like dying at the cross? Answer is no. Right? At the garden, right, he knelt down and says, you know, Lord, if it's in your will, let this thing pass. He struggled, but it was a resolute decision to love. I make it a resolute decision to love my wife. You see, before marriage, right, I knew little about love. Yeah, I just know the theory about love, and you know, 1 Corinthians 13 over here. Yeah, yeah. But when I got married, I began to know love a little more. Especially with my wife. First trimester was tough. Right? You know, that's when you really serve. That's when you love her, despite of how you feel. Okay? So, you see, as I'm called to preach in the area of evangelism, see, God has called me in this mission to preach on evangelism, to do whatever equipping ministry, right? God has called me to lay down my life for my wife, which is the daughter of the Most High. You see, we may have disagreements, we may have issues, but I'm not going anywhere. I am accountable to God. You see, for the way that I treat her. I can't run away because I'm accountable to God, you see. So for future husbands or future wives, right, my advice to you is die to your selfish desires. Just die to your selfish desires, man. And you know what? About Valentine's Day, 14th of Feb, what, next week, right? I tell you straight off, it is totally unbiblical. You limit love to just one day, and you tell the person that you love the person just on one day, and the rest of the days you don't express it. What's this? Do you think God loves you more on one day? Come on, man. Stop being like the world. Right? You see, so this example of a girl, and then this guy approached the girl with flowers and whatever, Ferrero Rochers and stuff, and then he passed, and then he looks at the girl and said, hey, hi, you know. Then the girl says, why are you passing me this, you know? Oh, the guy says, oh, because I love you. Right? And the girl says, you know nothing about love. I watched my dad love my mom. In the time of sickness, he was there. She was doing the dishes. She was feeding her with her medicine. And she was there every morning waking up to just stir that one cup of Nestum. She was there to iron the clothes, handle the housework. And when the mom is not feeling well, he was literally changing all the bed sheets. You know, that's how my dad loved my mom. I've seen what love is, you know. You go talk to my dad. See? Do you see how love has been totally changed by Hollywood and all that stuff? But the biblical love is the resolute decision to love your wife and your spouse despite of how you feel. Wow, you know, you just put Titus, you know, put Titus' name, you know. Is Titus patient? Ask the wife, you know. Is Titus patient, you know? Is Titus kind, patient? Is Titus not self-seeking? Ask her, right? That's the definition of love. Wow. Sorry, Titus, for putting you on the... Okay, next charge, okay? Fourth one. Develop godly character. So I speak to the guys, okay? I'm speaking to the guys, future boyfriends, or boyfriends going to be future husbands, okay? So this is a huge misunderstanding from Genesis 2:18, you know. The Lord God says, it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. So I'm a guy. I said, oh, okay, where's my helper? All right, where's my helper? But did you read the context of Genesis 2? Did you read the context? What does the guy... See, what's the purpose of that guy? See, when God created man, he gave the man responsibility. He gave him work to do, right? So the man has responsibility, the man has purpose, and the man has authority. You see, he has authority to name animals, you know. It's parallel to a man with vision, purpose, direction. And then for such a man, you see, God says, I'll give you a helper. So in my own paraphrase, I'm not trying to add or subtract the word of God. In my own paraphrase, if you are a guy that is clueless, no direction, no purpose, don't know what you're doing, drifted by the world, don't know what you're doing, and then you try to look for someone to fill up the vacuum in your life. To such a guy, it is good for the man to be alone. It is good. Okay? Stay alone. Okay? That's my own paraphrase. Okay? So, Psalms 119 is very clear. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Wow, do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart. So guys, what word did you hide in your heart? What is the word that you hide? Is the word of God the authority of your life? You see? So qualities, you know, that a godly wife is looking. So my wife has touched a bit, you know. Someone that's prayerful, responsible, knows the word of God, loves God, someone that is financially stable, is able to lead the family, serves in ministry. How is his private life like? Okay? Does he have anger issues? All these things, you know. Does he have fruits of the Spirit? Patience, gentleness, self-control. All these things. The word of God, is it in the person? So if like you're trying to, you know, hey, you know, I want to just get to know you. You know, if I'm a lady or I'm a guy, I say, okay, come and talk to my parents first, you know, come. Then you see suddenly the guy freaked out. I was like, whoa, no, you know, better not now, you know. Then you know how sincere the guy is, really. Right? So for me, when we were knowing each other, I sent her home. I sent my, that time, fiancé all the way back home. All the way. At first, it was just to the void deck. And now I go all the way up to the house and knock on the door. I say, hi, uncle, my future father-in-law. Hi, uncle, here's your daughter back, you know. Sincerity. I meet the father straight. Within a few weeks, really, I met her straight. Met him straight. And I accounted to him before I actually married her. So that's the sincerity. Okay, next slide. Ladies. Alright, ladies, my wife has mentioned briefly about 1 Peter 3. Okay? Unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit that is of great worth in God's sight. The question is, ladies, okay, girlfriends, future girlfriends or future wives, are you living for God or are you trying to impress your partner? You see, if a lady spends hours in the makeup, you know, trying to make herself look beautiful, it's like, well, every time, you know, you go out, you spend 1 hour, 2 hours on makeup and foundation and whatever stuff. How is it going to work out, man? How is it going to work out? Gentle and quiet spirit. Proverbs 31, my wife has mentioned a little bit, you know, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Does the lady fear the Lord more than men? Can the lady say no to the guy because she fears the Lord more? So when we are outreaching, right, we just pass this track to this lady. We say, hi, this is a track for you, you know. What makes you beautiful? It's the inner beauty. The inner beauty is the one that shines. You can ask my wife, Joanna. She doesn't even put makeup. I'm not saying that makeup is wrong, okay? But it's the extent of, are you pleasing the Lord? Or are you pleasing just your partner, you know. So qualities that a godly husband is looking for in a wife, right? You look for someone that's prayerful, look for someone that knows the word, loves people, loves God, purity, inner beauty. Does she honor your parents? Is she serving in a ministry? You know, you're looking for a wife, not a playmate or something. You're looking for a wife that's going to be a future mother of your kids. Does she have the characteristics of a wife? Wow, so many I can go through. Next one, fifth charge. Settle your issues. You see, I'm getting more and more personal, you see. If you have bondages, if you have inner issues that's not yet resolved, you're going to bring it on towards the relationship. See, so I'm just listing out a few. Finance, right? This is huge, you know. We were counseling this couple, you know, in church, and then this guy used for credit card A to pay for certain or whatever stuff he's buying from Taobao, and then after credit card B pays for credit card A, then credit card C pays for credit card B, you know, and then credit card D pays for credit card C, and it's like this cycle. It's like, wow, he's hugely in debt because it's this process, and it's like, wow. You know, I told him, you know, settle your finance before you even think about marriage. Okay, so godliness with contentment is great gain, you know. 1 Timothy, are you contented? Contented with this, with the simple things? Addictions, well, this is huge, you know. I don't know, ladies or guys or anyone, youth, young adults. If you have addictions, you settle it first. I can spend the next hour listing the whole chunk of addictions. Computer games, pornography, drugs, alcohol, substance, everything. Anything that takes you away from the Lord. If you have those addictions, you jolly well settle it before you're even thinking of getting into a relationship. Okay, so Job 31, okay, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. Vice versa for a lady towards a guy. This is the word that I hide in my heart. And I hide it every time. When I have lady contacts or anything, you know, even before meeting Joanna, this is the words that I hide in my heart. Next slide. One, I got more issues, okay? Loneliness, this is huge. Okay? If you cannot settle your loneliness, right? and you're expecting your spouse or your so-called girlfriends or boyfriend to fulfill that vacuum, you are definitely not in the correct reason for a relationship. Is Christ enough for you? Is Christ enough for you? Wow, because anything that takes you away from Christ, it's idolatry, right? You're treating your girlfriend and your boyfriend as an idol, then you're getting a relationship for the wrong reasons. So if you look in the scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who give me strength. That's often the most misquoted verse. And if you study in Philippians 4, the context is always in contentment. Paul talks about contentment, you know. Whether I have this or that, you know, I'm just okay. I'm okay. So that's how I settled, right? At the age of 30, I was waiting, I was praying, and I was fully contented with Christ. I spent my times on retreats. Wow, you know, my single, you got all the time in your world, you just go, one full day retreat, you know, you spend time in marriage tree, you just grow in the ministry, you focus on serving the Lord, and Christ alone is enough for me. Peer pressure, this is huge, you know. You got this thing called FOMO. You know what's FOMO, right? Fear of missing out, right? Have or not? Fear of missing out. But I'm telling you, the greater fear of the Lord is more important, okay? So you've got all kinds of peer pressure, you know, all kinds, you know, hey, you know, if you're not having a boyfriend or girlfriend, then something is wrong with you. So I'm going to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. I've got to go to that Tinder, I've got to go to that whatever apps just to find someone. And the answer is that you're so wrong. You're so wrong, you know. Is that how you treat a daughter of the Most High? Is that how you treat the son of the Most High? Do you have the guts to say no? That you say, no, I choose purity, I choose holiness, I choose to follow Jesus. The world is going to slam you on that. Yes, so what? I said, I am going to choose to follow Christ. That's a radical decision. And I said no to all the ungodly stuff. Anger. Okay? So whether it's a guy or a girl, you know, man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. If you have anger issues and you get to a relationship and you're going to get married, these issues are not going to fade away just because you get married. It's going to stay there. So you settle those issues. That's the fifth charge. Sixth charge. I'm almost coming to my sixth one, okay? Keep godly boundaries. Wow, this is going to be a very tricky topic. It's on the issue of cohabitation. I really know what's happening out there. In my own workplace, in my meetings with youth and young adults, I'm telling you, immorality is already rampant out there for pre-believers. Look at the colleges, look at local universities, look at hostels. Stop kidding yourself. What does the Word of God say? But among you, there must not be any hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, for these are improper for God's holy people. The picture on my left, that's the part of the scripture on my prayer wall. Psalms 15 was the word that spoke to us before we got married. And say, whenever I know the temptations, I know, you know, guys and girls, hormones rising, all that stuff, I know. And then every time when those moments come, right, Psalms 15, boom, hits on my heart, and I kite the word in my heart, and I maintain that godly boundary, you see, who keep an oath even when it hurts, the whole thing, everything. And so that's how I maintain Psalms 15. And so that's the word that hide in my heart. Is any of God's word hidden in your heart? You're telling me, oh, don't worry, I really love her, like, we're going to be engaged anyway, so we can, you know, we just start traveling. You know, solo couple, you know, go to JB or whatever, you know, stay overnight, Saturday, Sunday, you know. Wow. So let me talk about that. Let me talk about that, okay? You think that you're in a relationship and you think you can just travel by. If you're in a group of friends, it's okay. You're accountable to each other. The guy stay in one room, girl stay in one room, it's fine. But if you're alone, you know, just guy and girl going overseas, let me talk to you about that. Do you think you are accountable to the body of Christ? Who's going to know what's happening over there? Oh, yeah, it's okay. I sleep in one room. No, Yeah, right. So my question is, oh, okay. You want to cohabitate, is it? Okay. Then why don't you marry her? Sorry, I'm not ready, you know. Then if you're not ready, then that means you're saying that she's not the one? Whoa. See? Whoa. So I'll tell them, oh, okay. You want to cohabitate? Can. You want to cohabitate? Can. Firstly, go and find out what is the responsibility of a husband and wife. Secondly, ROM. Thirdly, get married in church in the presence of everyone before God, that your husband and wife, you can cohabitate all you want. Get married and understand the responsibilities. So you think you can have a fling without a responsibility? No way. No way, man. So see, I talk to colleagues, right? So they don't want to talk to them. I'll say, hey, imagine, you know, are you okay to cohabitate? You know, they're like, you know, yeah, I'm okay, you know, I'm okay. So I said, so what if the girl gets pregnant? No, very unlikely. I said, what if, you know, then was xiao liao already. Or then xiao liao, panic, you know. Then you see them fumble. And then I ask the third anchoring question. You know what's the third anchoring question? What if that was your daughter? Cannot answer already. Oh, cannot answer. You see, when you marry someone, okay? Titus and your wife, say me and Joanna, you are saying goodbye to the 6 billion girls everywhere. Alright? When you're married to someone, you're saying, no, this guy married to the girl married to a guy, right? Then you're saying goodbye to the rest of the guys. Bye-bye! You have set her apart, and you're fully committed to her till death. That's what it means to get married. And that's what it means to get into a relationship, because relationship is preparation for marriage. Correct? Now, the seventh charge. I'm coming to an end, right? So these two charges, right, gets you on the biblical perspective of the current situation. You see, so a lot of people are just out there just looking for someone, you're just spending your time and just looking for that person. But how much of you is preparing for a second coming? You see, the plane of Jesus Christ, you look at the plane on the picture on the right side, you know, the right side picture, the plane of Jesus Christ is going to land in a certain manner, whether you like it or not. Okay, it's going to start landing. You see, the first time he came as a suffering servant. The second time he comes as a righteous judge. So he's going to land in this way. So are you aligning your life, your will, according to that airstrip line, you see? Are you aligning your will to his will? That's the question I'm asking you. Right? The plane of Jesus Christ is going to land in this manner. Look at the book of Revelations. Immorality is going to be rampant. All sorts of crisis is coming, you know. Are you still going to align your life to that? Are you preparing for that? Because after marriage, there's going to be more things to juggle. You've got your mission, you've got your spouse, you've got in-laws, you've got your kids, you've got more things, you've got finance, a lot of things. But are you getting your priorities right? Parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were ready with oil, the other 5 not ready. Which one do you want to be? Last charge. Last one. Be the light for the generation. Okay, so this is like something that the Lord deposited in my heart when we were going for our holiday in Tasmania. That was like last year in November. You see, so I was having this amazing, you know, like just, you know, upgraded to some villa, you know, don't know how it happens. And then the moment we wake up, right, the sunset is in there already, you know. Wah. So I went up and then I just drink teh tarik, and then I watched the sunrise. Like, I watched the sunrise at about 4 a.m. or something. How many of you have watched the sunrise before? It's beautiful, right? This is amazing, God's creation. So when you see the sunrise, right, initially it's all totally dark. And then suddenly when that first dawn, you see, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. It's like, wow, shining ever brighter. It's going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter until, wow, you can't see, you must wear sunglasses, right? But then the Lord spoke to my heart and said, this is how the youths must be like. Their life must continue to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. So in the midst of immorality, in the midst of all the chaosness and all that stuff, that all the ungodly stuff that's happening around this generation, can this generation be that one that shines? So that when you see pre-believers look at you, look at your relationship, wow, this couple is different, man. It's like they see Christ in the church. This couple don't do this kind of things. Why? Then you explain, this is the love of Christ. This is what you're supposed to be. And that's my final charge. You see, before I end, right, I'm going to share this testimony and just take a last few, two more minutes, okay? When me and my wife, we were outreaching, right, in somewhere in MacRitchie, right, we were talking to this guy, you know. It's just amazing, you see. It's like we see this guy, right, this is a Christian guy that attends church, attend YOM, DTS, all that stuff. Someone who goes to church, goes to Bible school and all that stuff. And then he was telling us that his marriage was breaking. He said, why? Why? What happened? He began to share, you know. God spoke to him one day, and God spoke to him through the Holy Spirit, you know. He says that the marriage bed has been defiled. He was like, what? And then he couldn't sleep in the same bed, and he confronted the wife, you know, and the wife later confessed, because the wife went through a period of time where she was neglected, a very difficult ministry time, you know. So you're thinking, pastors, you know, you and your wife, you got your own issues in ministry, and then you're not settling her needs, and then she gets drifted away. And then she finds the comfort, you know who? On a pre-believer. Oh, a pre-believer secretary somewhere else, you know. Oh, and then they got an affair. And then I asked him, you know, what do you think happens? Because white doesn't turn to black. It goes through a series of grace. And then he confessed that, yeah, he has not. He just thought that, okay, I'm going to get married. And then married, that's it. Ta-da! Done. You know, now, next thing to settle. No. When you get married, marriage is about working hard. You got to work hard in the marriage. You got to sustain the marriage. Wow, so he was like, oh. So we spend time with him, we go through the book of Hosea, we share with him God's unconditional love. Read the book of Hosea. God told Hosea to marry a prostitute. So, wow. Someone commit adultery, come and love, you know. Isn't that God's love for you? God never gives up, you know. God's love is enduring, faithful, till the end, you know. And we tell him, and we minister to him, and he was so ministered. In the end, he was like, I'm going to just spend time and I'm going to figure things out. And so we knew he's going to do the right thing. We prayed for him and committed him. Okay, next two slides is just a summary. Okay, so if you are doing some Instagram or whatever, you know, someone writes up on Instagram, right? Take a picture of this, you know, this is a summary. Okay, knowing your maker, discovering your mission, partnering with your mate. And the next slide will be the 8 charges. Right, next slide. Right, the 8 charges. And this is the charges that are laid out one by one. Okay, so before we end, I'm going to give this altar call. And not that I can't get you to come forward, but I'm going to get you to respond to what is being shared, okay? Yeah, as the worship leader plays gently in the background. Okay, so every eyes closed, every head bowed, okay? You're just going to ask certain group of people, okay? So listen up. Every head bowed, every eyes closed between you and the Lord. If you are single, okay, I'm going to give you things that the Lord has laid in my heart. Okay, if you are single, okay, and then you know you have issues. You have issues to deal with, and you know that Jesus is not really your Lord, and you're struggling with it, you know, and you acknowledge to the Lord, yes, I have issues on my own. I need to get real with God. So if that is you, I want you to lift up your hands. Okay, I want you to lift up your hands to the Lord. Yes, yes, the Lord sees it. The Lord sees it. Okay, put your hands down. If another group of singles, okay, you are ready. You know what it means to be a future husband and wife. You understand the responsibilities of a husband and a wife, and you're praying for a partner, okay? You're praying for a partner, right? And if that's you, right, I want you to raise up your hands to the Lord, because the Lord sees your heart. Is there any one of you? You're single, and you're ready, and you're praying for someone. Next group of people, if you are a couple, okay, you are in a relationship and you know that it's in an ungodly relationship, you know that you are yoking with a pre-believer, it's not working out and it's just messed up, okay, if that is you, okay, and the word of God has spoken to you, I want you to raise up your hand and say, yes, that's me, I confess to you, Lord, yes, I see your hand. Anyone else that you know it's just not going anywhere, it's going the wrong road, and you want to commit it to the Lord, you know, you want to find out whether should you continue or should you just move on and start afresh. If that is you, you raise up your hands to the Lord. It's another set of couples that I'm praying for. You are getting ready for marriage. You are praying for godly boundaries. You're praying for ministry merger. Okay, and you're getting, you know, you're getting set for the future. You want to look for marriage, and you're, you know, preparing your two hearts to be united as one, you know. If that is you, I'll allow you to raise up your hands to the Lord. If that is you, anyone here? Yes, yes, you can put your hands down. Yes. And the last group of people, okay, whether you are single or couple, if you're decided to set your heart to prepare for His return, and you desire to be the light for this generation, whether you are single or in a relationship, that's your desire. Say, I'm going to fix my life to be ready for His second coming. I'm going to start serving Him. I want to truly make a difference in this generation. I want to truly be the light and salt of the earth. If that is you, I want you to raise up your hands to the Lord. All over this place, many hands are up. Many hands are up. Those of you who have put your hands up, okay, in any of the questions that I ask, right, I want you to stand. Stand to your feet. We can't get the altar call. I want you to stand to your feet right now. Those of you who have lifted your hands in any of those areas, stand to your feet right now. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be praying for you. And after I pray, the worship is going to minister to you. And if you have any other questions, you can still look for me and my wife who's out there at the book sales counter. Okay. Anyone else that is going to stand up? This is important, young adults. This is serious. This is important. It's going to make you or break you in the area of relationships, and you need to get right with God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the chance to speak forth of your word to all these young adults who have responded. Every single one of them, every youth, every young adult, you know their hearts. And I pray for the singles. Lord, speak to them, O God. Change their heart to be like you. John 12:24, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains as a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. It's the verse for some of you. Some of you need to experience a breaking. Some of you need to experience that surrender of your hearts to the Lord. Father, I pray for the couples here to be God-centered. Jesus is the official relationship. You'll be the official center of their marriage, of their future marriage, of their future everything, oh God. You are the center, and your word has direction. Yes, your word has power. Lord, I pray. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's the word for some of you over here. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Lord, I pray for the couples here. You see them, oh God, and you know what's in their hearts. If you know some of them who have been in an ungodly relationship, you speak to them, oh God. Confront them with the word of God. Use their leaders and speak discipline into their lives. I pray for the couples who are getting married, who are desiring to unite their hearts. Lord, be the center of their marriage, and may they be reminded that marriage is hard work. It's Christ and the church, the sanctification process. Lord, and I commit every youth out here, shine. May their light shine for you. May their quest and purpose and their very center be focused on pleasing you and you alone. I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's worship. Pure heart. Pure heart. That's what I know. That follows after thee, pure heart. That's what I long for, a heart that follows
through your throne. Let's just pray. Father, I pray for the youths here that even before we seek anything else, Lord, we will seek your face. Lord, we will seek your presence. We will seek that intimacy and companionship with you. Lord, even before we choose to take on any role as a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband and wife to anyone, Lord, would we seek to live the life of a disciple that pursues you relentlessly through all things and in all things. And Lord, when you are the center of our lives, when we are able to say with conviction that you are our portion and we already have all that we need in this lifetime, and that is Jesus, Lord, then would you bless us to walk into a relationship with another, to find a partner. Lord, may our priorities be right. May our love for you be at the forefront of our lives. And Lord, indeed, will the youths here shine ever so brightly for you in every aspect of their life, be it their relationship with you, their relationship with a significant other, relationship with their family, their friends in school. Lord, would they shine so brightly for you? In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming to Cruz Youth. We'll see you guys next week. And can we just thank Pastor Wallace for sharing such a powerful word with us. Thank you. We'll see you guys next week. Don't forget, there is the book sales that's just happening right outside at the atrium. If you're interested to learn more, to get the book, it's just right outside at the atrium. We'll see you there.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruz.org.sg. God bless.